Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available on Google Podcast.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Wednesday, the 20th of March, 2024. We would like to think that large multinational companies are a new construct. That would not be correct. On this day in 1602, the Dutch East India Company is established. It's an amalgam of 21 companies and was given a 20-year monopoly to bring goods from Indonesia and the Far East to the Dutch interest around the world. Known by the letters VOC for the Dutch name, it boasted nearly a million employees and slaves, an 8,000-ship fleet, and for most practical purposes, given the authority to act as its own nation. It will last for almost 200 years and return an 18% dividend for many of those years. For comparison, the S&P 500 has returned about 9% for the past few decades. Sir Walter Raleigh, explorer of the New World and high in the court of Queen Elizabeth I, ends 13 years of imprisonment in the Tower of London. He had some troubles with the new King James I. The city of Raleigh, North Carolina, is named for him, and the idea of an accuser being deposed in court and cross-examined seems to have originated with Raleigh. Boston is ablaze in 1760. This is at least the eighth major fire in the colonial city. The novel Uncle Tom's Cabin is published in 1852. The novel had a profound effect on attitudes towards African Americans and slavery in the U.S. President Lincoln, upon meeting the author, Harriet Beecher Stowe, proclaimed, "So, you're the little lady who caused this war." That would not be completely correct, but it did galvanize Northeastern anti-slavery interest. 2 years later, the Republican Party is formed in Ripon, Wisconsin on this day. Prior to this, you had the Democrat Party, which was primarily Southern and very pro-slavery, and the Whig Party, which was mostly Northern but ambivalent on the slave issue. The Republican Party was a split with the Whigs on the subject of slavery and had a very anti-slavery plank in their platform. Contrary to the spin today, and for much of the past six decades, Democrats have never been anything but supportive of African suppression. That fact, that voting bloc largely votes in mass for Democrats, says a very great deal about human nature and politics. Albert Einstein publishes his general theory of relativity in 1915. The USS Langley is commissioned as the first U.S. aircraft carrier in 1922 and given the designation CV-1. She was converted from a collier or coal ship to a carrier with the addition of a flight deck. The next two carriers will also be conversions. The USS Ranger CV-4 will be the first U.S. ship built from the keel up as a carrier. This will be laid down in September of 1931. Fred Rogers, also known simply as Mr. Rogers, is born in 1928. Of course, he hosted the children's television series Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which ran from 1968 to 2001. Rogers was a contemporary of Bob Keeson, also known as Captain Kangaroo. The two were friends. Since Rogers' show appeared on PBS, it was not as widely known as Captain Kangaroo, certainly in smaller markets. Actor Hal Linden is 93 years old today. He's best known for the television series Barney Miller, which ran from January of 1975 to May of 1982. Singer, songwriter, guitarist, actor, and sometimes comedian, Jerry Hubbard is born in 1937. His acting and stage persona were close to his actual personality. He was a vastly talented songwriter and guitar picker. While in country circles, Chet Atkins and Roy Clark get a lot of recognition for their play, Jerry Reed was his middle name, was right there with them. One of his early songs was his composition, Guitar Man. Elvis came to Nashville and wanted to record the song, but was having trouble getting his session to sound like Reed's record. The record producer found Reed out on the river fishing, and ask what they needed to do to get the sound they wanted. Reed is quoted as saying, "Then you'll have to get me to do it." And they did. Of course, Reed will team up with Burt Reynolds and Jackie Gleason for Smokey and the Bandit. General Douglas MacArthur gives his "I Shall Return" speech in 1942. U.S.-led forces had been pushed out of the Philippines by the Japanese. The defeat is considered the worst suffered by Americans. 10 years later, the war is over and the U.S. is ending occupation of Japan. The Senate ratifies a treaty between the U.S. and Japan that dictates the terms. One major point was the U.S. would maintain military bases on the island nation with no mention of how to close them. This was a very sticky point with the Japanese people. A new treaty will be negotiated in 1960. The Iraq War begins in 2003. In 2015, there is an occurrence of a solar eclipse, equinox, and supermoon all on the same day. Speaking of the vernal equinox, the sun passed over the equator last night at 11:09, marking the transition from winter to spring. Here in flyover country, the daffodils are blooming, the grass needs mowing, and the redbuds are just starting to show some color. If you're driving the countryside, all of those blooming white trees are Bradford pears, an invasive species that readily reproduces and are becoming a problem. It never ceases to amaze me at the stream of instances we hear they need to pay their fair share. In the context of the United States, we look at a handful of multibillionaires and proclaim they should pay more, simply because they have more than I do. What is their fair share? They're already paying more on their top-level income than anyone else, 37% to be exact. But if you want to look at this on a global scale, most Americans are well above the rest of the world. So maybe the lower Americans should pay their fair share so folks in India, sub-Saharan Africa, and China can live better. It is really just Marxist class warfare. Think for a moment. If you take the 20 richest people in the United States, their current net worth is $1.89 trillion. Yeah, that's a big number. It's not their taxes, but everything they own. It would not cover one-third of last year's $6.1 trillion in government spending. What if we take the wealth of the top 50? Nope, that won't work either. That is just $2.5 trillion. Still not half. I'm estimating now, but I do not believe the Forbes top 100 of the richest people in America would cover a full year of spending if we took every dime they had. Folks, we do not have an income problem. We have a spending problem. The pay their fair share mantra is just political fodder, and you are being played. That's History in Comment for the 20th day of March. I'm Doug Terrell. Now, go do something worth remembering.